Amen. You know, just a little itsy bitsy glimpse into me is that I love Sunday mornings with such a passion and such a zeal. When we come in here on a Sunday morning, we're sitting next to family and friends. We're sitting next to people that we don't even know. And there's a privilege and there's such an honor to be able to come in our togetherness like we did this morning and lift up the name of Jesus. And I want to just from my heart, I want to thank you for making that part of my life just so precious and valuable to me that I just love and I live for Sunday mornings. And it's such an absolute privilege and honor from me to be able to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with you. Even those that are sitting here today that I don't know, together we lifted up the mighty name of Jesus. We brought glory to his name this morning. Speaking truth bombs. So what is a truth bomb? A truth bomb is a statement that is strikingly honest. During the worship, I'm standing next to Casey worshiping and she says, "Are you ready?" I said, "I'm more than ready." Her answer to me was, "Let's see when you get up there." We're talking about truth bombs. So what I took out of that is, Ryan, don't be too overconfident. Hey, when you stand up there, and remember who you're doing it for. The great thing about truth bombs is that it is able to cut through assumptions, lies, excuses, deception. That's a big one in our lives, to get to the heart of the issue. Truth bombs, when spoken in love, friends, lead to reflection, change, and action on your behalf and mine. When they've spoken to us, truth bombs are meant to build up. They are never meant to actually tear someone down. So this morning, I have the privilege for the first half of this message to share some truth bombs with you. And I'm praying and trusting that I'm going to speak this truth and love to you this morning around the call you have received, what God is building, okay, who he's using. And then we're going to get very practical so that we can apply this in our lives and let it become a lifestyle of talking the truth and love to those around us and just planting truth bombs on their hearts. So that why? What is the goal of this? Is to see people come into the call that Jesus has for them, to see them come into greater degrees of freedom. So we've got to understand that that's what this message is all about this morning. You know what's quite interesting is that for the last 2 weeks, I found myself, I can't actually get out of Ephesians chapter 4. I'm just every single day reading Ephesians chapter 4 and seeing it from a different angle every time that I've read it over the last 2 weeks. I opened the notes on Wednesday night, didn't know it, and this whole preach is around Ephesians chapter 4. So I don't know about you and truth bombs and speaking the love and truth, but God is clearly speaking to me about something in my life or character that he's like, "Hey, Ryan, I think you need to align yourself here. But not only am I going to ask you to align yourself to this, I'm going to let you preach this out." So I'm going to jump into my big point number one this morning. So all the scriptures are out of Ephesians chapter 4. So the call you have received. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1 says this: "As a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another." Look to the person to the left and the right. Bear with one another in love. What does number 3 say? Verse 3. "Make every effort," okay, "to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." What's very interesting also about the book of Ephesians is that Paul writes this from prison, from a prison cell. And from a prison cell, he's urging the Ephesian church to live a life worthy of the call they've received. It's interesting that to live a life worthy of the calling that you and I have received simply means to be completely humble, gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. So let's spend a few minutes just speaking about humility, gentleness, and patience. So humility is not weakness or low self-esteem. We've got to understand that. Okay, it is a foundational heart attitude that involves having an accurate, grounded perspective of yourself in relationship with God. Okay, so we understand that. It means acknowledging the spiritual need, okay? Acknowledging that we need a spiritual need, trusting in God's authority, and actively choosing to serve others. Okay, gentleness. So gentleness is actually a fruit of the Spirit, a God-given quality that grows in you and I as we follow Jesus. So I'm going to say this with all the love that I can muster up in myself, and I'm speaking to myself when I say this, and with a tone of grace and gentleness, how is your relationship with Jesus? How is your intimacy every day with Jesus through the Holy Spirit? I started to realize this week how many conversations that I'm a part of, okay, with other people, and sometimes, actually a lot of the times, the way I think also is not in a place of intimacy with Jesus. It's always about what's not happening, what's going wrong, and what could be better, and what could not be better, and how difficult life is. But people are not going back to the intimacy that they can have with Jesus. So our conversations are not lavished or soaked in what Jesus is doing in our lives and his intimacy that is there for us to take hold of so that we can walk in gentleness. So this is what takes place when we are following Christ, intimacy with Jesus, okay? So gentleness shapes how we speak to others, how we lead ourselves, but also how we lead in others around us, how we serve in the kingdom of God, and how we care for others. Gentleness. Patience is not the passive ability to wait. There's a reason why I'm sharing this stuff with you. Patience is defined as an active endurance, steadfastness, and the capacity to maintain a peaceful, faithful attitude during trials, delays, or even when we feel like we've been provoked. Okay, patience is rooted in trusting God's timing and promises. I don't know if I should crack a joke. It's very serious in here. Am I being too serious? No matter what you do, ma'am or sir, from 8 to 5, from Monday to Friday and a Saturday, if you are a stay-at-home mom, a waiter, waitress, you're a student, whatever your profession may be, that you are called to be completely humble, gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. When you are doing that, you are actually fulfilling the call that God has for your life. I know what you're all thinking, because I thought this. I can even see it in the look that I'm getting from some of you this morning. Okay, that does not sound very fun or exciting way to live my life. We live in a world, okay, that isn't humble, gentle, peaceful and patient, and is not actually on the mission to do what? To bring unify people. Amen? Amen? And if I had to live my life like that, I'm going to be trying to survive because I'm just going to get eaten up. Think about it. When we live that way, we perceive that to be weakness. Like people are going to take advantage of us. How is this going to outwork? So it might sound not fun and not that exciting. And maybe you have a bit of this reservation in you to actually apply this to your life. But I want to encourage you this morning that it is a powerful way to live because it is rooted and established in the love of God. And you and I, as born-again believers, are rooted and established in His love. And from that place, our confidence, our security is from there. And from that place, we're able to live a life that we've been called to, which is humble, gentle, peaceful, bearing with one another, because we want to see people come into the love of God and to experience what we're experiencing and being built up into the church that we have been called to. So it's not weakness. You can place yourself and be extremely confident in that space because of the love that you actually are operating out of from that place. If you came in here this morning and you had no idea what your call was or what you should be doing, I have just preached it to you that your call from this day is to live a life worthy of the calling you have received, and is to be completely humble, be patient, be gentle, bearing with one another in love, and that you're on a mission to keep the unity of the Spirit, which is the bond of peace. Because you are established and rooted in the love of Jesus. So, what is God building? What does He want to build? So, big point number two this morning, God wants us to be built up, not puffed up. So, I have two bullet points under this big point number two. So, back into Ephesians, I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 4, again, 7 and 8, and then I'm going to jump down to verse 11. So, verses 7 and 8 says this, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ appointed it. This is why it says, when He ascended on high, He took many captives and gave gifts to His people." Jumping down to verse 11, it says, "So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip His people for works of service." Okay, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, okay, and we become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Okay, so it's pretty clear, these are truth bombs, and I'm speaking in love this morning to you that you have a call, that God is building something and He wants you and I to be a part of this. Okay, so it's pretty clear in this message what the goal is for you and I, the body of Christ, for us to be built up, for us to reach unity in the faith, not just some of us, all of us are reaching unity in the faith, okay? To grow together in the knowledge of Jesus, all of us, because the closer you get to Jesus, the more your life changes. It can't change outside of your relationship with Jesus. It can't change outside of intimacy with Jesus. You got to step into this thing and just walk this thing out with Him, Jesus, and those that are around you. You're not a lone ranger. We are in community together outworking this. To be mature. Why? Because Jesus is coming back for His bride. He's coming back for a mature bride that loves Him, that loves people, and that is building itself up into the very things that He has called us to. That is the goal, friends. So what God doesn't want us to do is be puffed up, okay, with all sorts of knowledge or information about Him, where it's all head knowledge, okay, where there's no faith activation because there's no heart condition that is for Jesus. Because only through Jesus and when there's a connection with Him do we actually activate our faith. because we know who is calling us to activate our faith. And we understand that he's calling us to walk in this thing. So step by step, faith by faith, with brothers and sisters around us, that we are activating this. So we're not puffed up doing nothing, sitting on our couch on Facebook, having a lot to say, but actually doing nothing. No, we're in the fight, fighting the good fight of faith, trusting Jesus, pointing other people to Jesus. If you're not pointing people to Jesus, you are not fulfilling what God has called you to. If we're sitting on Facebook or sitting in the back rows just waiting around, you're not fulfilling what God has called you to. He's called us to save the lost and to bring people in so that they can know him. Friends, he wants us to be built up in love for him first. When we love him, it's easy to love each other. And we outwork it. And yes, he even wants us to love those that we might even say are enemies. We know Christ, what did Christ do? What did God do? Whilst we are still sinners, an enemy of God, Christ died for us. Why? Because he loved us. So in love, we want to be able to bring people into this relationship regardless of their position with us because of who Jesus is. Does that make sense? Oh. We also read, and I'm going to really hope I explain this one very well. We also read that Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service. These are leadership gifts, friends, that the church needs in order to thrive and grow. This isn't a man-made thing where man said, you know what, let's put a leadership gift or leadership into the church so they can rule and reign and control people. No, it's been appointed by Jesus in the local church, okay, to do what? To help the church grow and thrive. Okay, so when you look at leadership, you're not looking at the person, you're actually looking at the appointment that Jesus has actually put there. We've got to understand that, because then we start to change the way we actually deal with people. Because it's the lead elder, it's not Craig and Dawn or Stan down the road. You're actually submitting to what Jesus has put in place, which is the lead elder. Jesus put the lead elder there. In this season, it's just Craig and Dawn. Does that make sense? So you're able to submit to that authority. I was actually thinking about this the other day. I'm on the eldership team. And when I meet people that I don't know, I don't ever relate to Craig as, no, Craig, I'm on the eldership team with him. He's my pastor. So I understand what God has actually, Jesus has put in place in order to allow the church to build. So that's just a side note, not even in my notes. Okay. So Jesus gave us leaders to equip people for works of service. Okay. So works of service is serving the things of the kingdom of God, okay? And we want everyone serving the things of God, okay? Why? Because that is what you were made for. That is your purpose for your time on life, that we were created to serve God through local churches under the headship of Jesus. So that word equip in the Greek means to mend, to repair, to strengthen, okay? So if you've ever broken your arm or your leg, but I'm sure we would all know how this works, you go to the doctor, and the doctor will reset that broken bone into its proper alignment, okay? So it gets set into its proper alignment. Then a cast gets put on, which that cast is very uncomfortable, and you can't move, and sometimes there's a lot of restriction. Okay, so that's what takes place there, okay? So the doctor puts it in alignment. Why? So that the bone can repair itself, heal, and get stronger. Okay, so that's the idea behind this word. So it's a restorative word, actually. It's restoring something back, but making it stronger, actually. Okay, so the role of the leadership in the church is to help people heal, okay, hear what I'm saying, so that you can be effective and the works of service that Jesus has prepared in advance for you to do. Okay, we are the hands and the feet of Jesus, correct? Yes. This includes me and Jess and Grant. We are the hands and feet, Craig and Dawn. Okay, so we're also the leadership. Okay, so bear with me here. At time to time, a finger, a shin, an ankle, a toe breaks. That bone, and now I'm talking about us in the body of Christ, is going to need some time to heal. Because I don't know about you, but I'm going through quite a lot of things now. There's always something going on. So sometimes it feels like, hey, maybe my ankle's broken. So we're all going through things. So the role of leadership is to come alongside us, Grant, Andrew, me, Clint, all of us on leadership, as well as you, because we should be being led by someone, so that they can come alongside us and help us mend, be restored, to get to a place of doing what? Getting back into works of service. Not that when things get so hard and tough that we decide to, hey, no, I'm going to have a break from this. No. You know, I'm going through something, but I know what I'm called to. So I need to get back into the mission of the kingdom of God and do what God's called me to do. But bring people alongside me and say, I'm struggling in these areas. My ankle feels broken. Can you help me? But we continue to fulfill the great commission that is on your life and my life, and that is advancing this kingdom and bringing people into this wonderful kingdom of God. Oh, I've run out of time already. Let me just have a sip of water. Lord Jesus, help me. Okay. When we work and serve together, okay, the church will be built up. So what happens when we serve one another? We are reaching unity in the faith. I'm saying we're serving one another, not a small group serving the whole church. We're serving one another. We are reaching unity in the faith. We're growing in the knowledge of Jesus, because it has to be happening, because we are being obedient to what God's asking us to do in Ephesians chapter 4, okay? And there's a maturity that is growing in us as a people of God, okay? So this is what is key to understand if you take this away today, okay? We don't do works of service to obtain our own salvation, because we don't work for salvation, we've already got it, okay? So we do works of service so that others may obtain theirs. So what we're doing here is for those that are not yet part of the church, not Grace Life, the church of God, we are preparing the way for them to come in and be found in the kingdom of God so that they can start doing the work that Jesus has for them. Okay. So now I want to bring these two together very quickly. Jesus gave us leaders to equip people for works of service, okay? When we work and serve together, the church will be built up. So how does this outwork in Grace Life? This. So if you're going to write anything down and memorize anything, memorize this, okay? Know God. Yes. I've already forgotten the second one. I'm getting excited now. Find freedom. Discover purpose. Make a difference. Okay, so what do we do around know God? We have Sunday morning services, 8 a.m. Okay, so I'm backtracking. And we're going to move on. Okay. So we're going to just jump straight into number three. So we are now going to go down to how to practically speak truth and love. Okay, so I have three bullet points under my big points again. So there's lots of bullet points. Okay, so let's talk about how to speak truth bombs in love. Okay, so speaking the truth in love is a skill. So the more we do it, the better we will become at it. Okay, so the more you do it, it becomes a lifestyle of speaking the truth in love to one another. Okay. So here are the three bullet points, and we will be ending in the next 5-7 minutes or so. When we speak the truth in love, we avoid these pitfalls. Okay, that's the first bullet point. The second one is speaking the truth in love builds everyone up, and how to speak the truth in love. So when we speak the truth in love, we will avoid misunderstandings. Okay. Gentle truth invites understanding. Okay. So we avoid misunderstandings by being gentle in the truth that we are delivering, so that there's an understanding instead of a misunderstanding. Okay. We speak the truth in love. We avoid resentment. So think about kind words will prevent resentment. We can avoid conflict escalating, okay? Loving words ease tension, even though at times conflict is not always bad. There's an outworking that needs to take place, but the end goal should always be reconciliation and restoration. Not a, I've got to prove my point here and be right. No, it's what? So that we both come to a place where we together can still glorify God. So it's not about I'm right and you wrong. It's about how can we work this out in love. Okay, so when we speak the truth in love, we avoid gossip. This is a big one. Directly talking with individuals rather than talking about them behind their back leads to a culture of trust and peace. So if you love someone the way Jesus loves you, you're not going to talk behind their back. You're going to pull the person aside and say, hey, can I have a coffee with you? And together in love and kindness and grace, you're going to outwork the issue you're going to have. You're not going to go speak to your friend down the road because it's just very divisive. And what are you actually doing? You're not operating in the love of Jesus, actually, because Jesus didn't do that. He spoke to you directly. When we speak the truth in love, we avoid mistrust. This is a big one. In the world today, there's just so much of this going around. So honest kindness builds trust and respect. It's just simple. We want to be growing in a place where people trust us. Okay. So wouldn't it be nice to avoid these things? Misunderstanding, resentment, conflict escalating, gossip, and mistrust. Wouldn't it be wonderful that we could avoid these things in our lives? We can by speaking the truth in love to one another. The second bullet point is speaking the truth in love builds everyone up. So speaking the truth in love creates stronger relationships. So respect grows through honest communication. So it's always good to be honest. It creates healthy conflict resolution. So I've touched on conflict already. Love turns conflict into growth. Okay, so when we love the person and we don't just leave this thing, we're going to sit and work it out. So love turns conflict into growth. It creates inspiration to others. Truth spoken lovingly inspires others. Okay? And then the final one, godly influence on others. Reflects God through loving truth. Okay. We want to build people up with the words we speak. We speak the truth. We speak truth bombs. Okay, coming to the final part of the morning. So speak, how to speak the truth in love. So this is key. In every single relationship that you and I have, the first thought should always be the person's call that is over their life. Not their good grace or because they're your friend or that you're in business with them. Their call is more important than anything else of them getting to know and being in right standing with Jesus in their relationship. Okay, so you simply must have the courage to do the following. Very simple stuff that we can take away and apply to our lives. First, commit to speaking honestly. Okay, don't avoid conflict. Don't be afraid of what others will say in response to what you want to bring up with them. Secondly, it's very simple stuff. Speak with compassion. Have the other person's best interest at heart, okay? We're always wanting to build someone up. So what is their best interest? their call on their life. If there's something that is maybe pulling them off the call of God or away from community or the kingdom, we want to come alongside them with compassion and have their best interest at heart to align them back to where God wants them to be. Thirdly, choose the right time for an important conversation. Okay, that's quite straightforward. Avoid times when emotions are high. Look for times when there are few distractions and people will be in a good place to receive your words. And then the fourth thing, use a gentle tone. So I've tried at times this morning to be gentle. I must be honest, I don't think I did a very good job. Thank you, Jess. But I tried. Okay, so I'm also, just like you, I'm learning and growing in this. I just like to sometimes get my points across and I don't really think about how I actually delivered it. So that's also something we can learn, is we want to be gentle because we want to have the best possible result for the person, our relationship, and together building up what Jesus has called us to build. And then finally, listen to the other person's response without becoming defensive. Okay, let them have a chance to speak truth and love back to you. Okay, why don't we stand together as we finish off this morning? Friends, let us be a people that are rooted and established in the love of God, which means we speak the truth to one another. Let it become a lifestyle. Practice it. The more we do it, the better we're going to become at it. And I think the most important thing to take away from today is as much as we want to speak the truth and love and be honest with people, we want to be a people that are able to receive the truth and love, to hear the honest, kind words that are shared over us, okay, so that we can become all who God has created us to be. The very last thing I want to say, do you know why this sometimes is so difficult? Because in the workplace, your gifting is honored. So you can have a bad character. As long as you're doing what you're doing and there every day, your boss is probably not going to sit down and talk about your character. He's only worried about the numbers. In the kingdom of God, it's your character that is going to stop you from becoming all who God created you to be. So in our discipling and mentoring, that is what is spoken about the most. And that is why this can be so difficult to outwork, because I don't want to be told that there's something wrong with my character. But we forget that it's not about what's wrong with me or what needs to change, is what God wants to do in me. And these things have to be mined out in us. All of us sitting here, including me, have character faults that the Lord wants us to deal with, so that you and I can become who God's created us to be. So speaking the truth in love, we have to understand that. So when someone's speaking love to you about something in your character, it's not that they don't like you, or they're being ugly, or they don't have your best interest. They clearly have your best interest, because God is wanting to do something with your life, and that has to be outworked. Amen.
Interestingly, in Galatians 4:16, Paul says to the Galatian church, if you go read chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, he is stay around, you can pray for us. He is speaking about their lack of faith and their reverting back to legalism. And legalism is, you don't need the Holy Spirit. You just need the law. You just need rules and regulations. So he was challenging them, saying, you're going back under the legalism and you've stopped walking by faith. And then he says in Galatians 4:16, he says, have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? Some people we've spoken the truth to, we've become their enemy. They've left Grace Life. They've left the church. We've become yesterday, look, someone unfriended me. Yep. They used to be at Grace Life a while ago now. And I went and they unfriended me. So I messed inbox and why did you? No, I didn't do that. So just, I want to just say this quickly. You know that in Mark chapter 10, it's Jesus, a rich young ruler comes to Jesus. A man who has, don't put your hand up, but who considers himself wealthy here? They've got quite a bit of money. So This man did, because we're told in the scriptures that he had money. He was a young guy, but he had obviously maybe his dad's money, his mother's money, family money. But he had wealth, more than the average Joe. And what happens is he comes and he asks Jesus a question. Jesus, being who he is, doesn't just listen to the question, because there's a question behind the question. And so he starts to pry. And then he says to the guy, then in Mark chapter verse 21, it says, Jesus looked at him and loved him and said, just because someone speaks the truth to you doesn't mean they don't love you. It says Jesus looked at him and loved him and then said this, one thing you lack. If you were a rich person and you got money, and Jesus says to you, one thing you lack, Johnny, Paul, Sarah, whatever your name is. He says, go sell everything you have, give the money to the poor, and then come follow me. That wouldn't seem very loving. Think about it. We'd go like, yeah, what an idiot. He would have gone back to his family and said, do not go get financial advice from that guy called Jesus. I thought he was a rabbi. I thought he was a great teacher. He's a freaking idiot. He told me to go and sell everything I have, give it to the poor, and come follow him. What, so I can be poor like him? No, thanks. That's what he would have said. And then it says he walked away sad. That word sad in the Greek is lipio. It means distressed, sorrowful, hurt, grieved, outraged. Just because you've been grieved by me doesn't mean I was wrong. You might be wrong. Just because you've been hurt by Ryan's advice to you might mean that you're wrong still, not he's incorrect. Does it make sense? Think about it. The rich young ruler says you walked away grieved and hurt and sad and outraged at the counsel given to him by Jesus, who we know is the Son of God. Back then, he was just some person standing in front of this rich guy called Jesus that was actually an idiot. And he walked away and said, this guy is, I thought he was sharp. He's obviously not very sharp. Well, whatever. Amen? So speaking the truth in love is incredibly important to our maturity, as Ryan is saying. And the issue is that we should be going, speak to me, not I need to speak to you. Because I want to grow and become everything God's called me to become. Amen. That's why the dream team is so important, because you connect with people and they rub you up the wrong way. So you have to learn to deal with them, because it's a character issue that's rubbing me up. And what I want to do, I get upset, I get outraged, I get saddened, and I walk away. I spoke to someone one time. We had a meeting, and we spoke about something that was pertinent. And that person messaged us back and messaged me and said, that was Satan. It was attack from the devil. So I'm saying, so what are you saying? That I'm led by the devil, and I came to speak. Even now, our words have changed your life in 2 months from 2 months. So don't say that. Amen. It's not Satan. He thought Jesus was Satan there. Just because you walk away hurt doesn't mean the other person's incorrect. Amen. So great message, Ryan. So why don't we, I don't even know where to go with this and what to pray for. I just, at the end of the day, it's like we should all be having our hands up saying, God, speak to me. Help me, Lord, overcome. A dead person can't get hurt. And we are new creations. Our old nature has been crucified and the new nature wants to grow. But the thing is, in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, God has gifted men and women to lead us, to help us become who he's called us to become. And if you're sitting there going, I don't need leadership, then you're incredibly immature. Amen. Because any mature person is happy to be coached and grow. So if that's you this morning, why don't we close? Oh, you lead us, Ryan.
I'll try. I'm going to try. So just as Craig was speaking, I just thought, you know, every single person here has a wonderful call on their life. But I also know that lots of us sitting here today or standing actually have things in you that are stopping you from either reaching out to be discipled and mentored, or stopping you from actually taking a step into what God's calling you to do. So I'm going to call out a few things. And if that's you, I want to encourage you just to put your hand up. Don't worry about who's next to you. So if that is mistrust, put your hand up. If it's bitterness, put your hand up. I know there's a lot more hands. Disappointment. Hands are going up all around. Father, you can see that the hands are up this morning, Father. Father, we pray and thank you for the boldness that has come out of these men and women today that have raised their hands to you, Father, saying, Lord, that there's something in me that needs to change in order for me to position myself to who you have called me to be, Father. So, Lord, we pray for your love to come in right now and drown out what has been stopping these wonderful people from walking into the call of God. Drown out mistrust, drown out bitterness and offense, drown out disappointments, drown out trauma in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, and ask you that there's going to be a stirring in their hearts to position themselves from this week to get involved in what you have called them to be involved in. And in your mighty name, we all said, amen.